Matthew chapter 16. I'm not going to wait for you if that's all right. Verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now listen. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Okay, he was interested in who they thought that he was. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The question I have for you is anybody saved? You have the Spirit of Christ in you, do you? So you know who he is. Let me ask you this. Are you Spirit-filled? Who do you think you are? I'm serious. Who do you think you are? Now, Jesus said, "Who do you think I am?" Don't we have that same Spirit? Don't we have that same Holy Ghost that he was baptized with? Now, Jesus would tell us the same thing. Paul kept telling people the same thing. I'm just like you. I am just like you. I have that same Spirit that you have. So who do you think you are? We know who God is. We know who God the Father is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Creator. He created all things. He is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. I call him the divine mind, because if you go back into the beginning, he was the one who came up with everything. He was the one who had who conceived everything that was made. Then he spoke it. Then he spoke it. Then you have the Word, the Son of God, heir to the throne, the Word through which all things were made, the divine Word through all things were made. He was involved from the beginning and into the building of the kingdom. Okay? He was the one that started the building of the kingdom of God on earth. That's who the Son was. So we know who God the Father is. We know who God the Son is, God the Spirit. So a lot of people get funny about this. No, I've gotten to where I really don't say Holy Ghost too much because I'm dealing with more Hispanic people. And when they hear the word ghost, they're thinking something sinister. That's just the way their language is. So, you know, since it's the same word in the Greek, it's okay. I'm going to say Spirit if that's okay. But just know that I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. The Spirit, God the Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is the power. He's the divine power. You had divine mind, divine word, divine power. He was the power through which all things were made. He is the Comforter. You notice I'm saying he. He's not an it. He's a he. Okay? You with me? He's not an it. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to call my God an it. And the Spirit is just as much God as the Father is and the Son is. Okay, so we know who God the Father is. We know who God the Son is. God the Spirit. Okay, how about the ministries? In Ephesians chapter 4, if you don't already have this marked or have, I'm sure you've read it somewhere along the line, but in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul lists five ministries. I don't like to call it fivefold ministries because that assumes that they're all encapsulated in one person. Okay? And rarely will you find that. Rarely. You'll find maybe one or two at the same time. An apostle can pretty much walk into any office. But the ministries, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We know pretty much what all of those are. There's a little bit of a shady understanding of apostles, but that's okay. So we know about the ministries, and they're to equip the saints. If you keep going, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now you understand that? A perfect man to the stature of Christ. Okay, Christ-like, Christians, that's us, okay? That's what the ministries are for, to get the saints to that point. We're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. We're to equip the saints to be the ones to go out and win souls. It's not my job to win souls. Don't get me wrong. It's my job to win souls just like it's your job to win souls, but it's not my job to win all the souls. It's not your pastor's job to win all the souls. Okay, it's our job to equip you with what you need to go out and do the work of the kingdom. That's the first thing you need to know about who you are. It's your job. It's your job. Part of who you are as a child of God is somebody to go out and win souls. You're the one that's supposed to go out and seek and save the lost. I can't save anybody. Yes, you can. You can bring them to the Lord. That's going to save their soul from an eternal hell. Exactly. You're leading them. You're leading them. That's right. Okay, so what about you? Let's talk about you. Let's look in Romans. Look at Romans chapter 8. I told you this is going to go really quick. So Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are adopted sons and daughters of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the one who was the Son of God before he was begotten. We are joint heirs with him. No, you don't get it. No, you don't get it. Abba. I was hearing somebody, who was that talking about Abba? I think it was this pastor up in Harrodsburg that we were with. Abba, that is he's saying it was Aramaic. It's an Aramaic word. It's the Aramaic word that means daddy. I mean, it basically means, it's when a little kid goes running across the room in Aramaic, you know, an Aramaic speaking kid, you know, too many of them around anymore. But I mean, if you got an Aramaic little baby, he runs across the floor and he reaches up his arms, Abba. That's what he says, daddy. That's what God is to you. Now, come on. Do you really get it? Because think about that. Think about your own dad. If you got kids, think about your relationship with them. My goodness. Come on. Think about it. And the Bible even says if you'll give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Father in heaven? He's perfect. Now, come on. Do you really get it? You're adopted sons and daughters of God Almighty. You are children of God. You understand? You're little God kids. That's what you are. You're little God kids. Okay. Now, if you get a hold of that, and it says, go on down. It says on down that you're in 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon, Paul Southern, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory's not even been revealed in us yet. And even so, it's amazing the things that children of God are able to do. You think about the things God can do. You think about the things Jesus can do. Okay, and Jesus said, now, if you never ever got this before, get it now. Jesus said that because I go away, greater things than I've done will you do. Why? Because you have that same spirit. Only, see, here's the thing. Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, was one Holy Ghost-filled person. One. How many Holy Ghost-filled people are there out there today? Now, come on now. How many of us are out here today? And how effective we could be if we were in unity. But you got the people over here that like the dusty rose carpet. You got the people over here that like the royal purple carpet. You got the people over here that want to shake the preacher's hand and sit down and wait for Jesus to come back. You got the ones over here that want to shout and speak in tongues. Devil was listening when Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. But we are children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, having been filled with that same spirit that Jesus was filled with. Okay, are you getting what I'm saying to you? Are you starting to understand who you are? Because let's go on. In Galatians chapter 4, the first few verses there. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. If he's a child, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we're children, we are in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, okay, that fullness of time that he was talking about, where you get past the tutors, okay, has come. He says, For when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? There's a point there. How come you're going back to this mess? You know, how come now, when you were a sinner, you were a servant to sin. You did those things that were for the benefit of the kingdom of darkness. And now here you are, child of God, joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you're turning back to that same mess. You're back under the bondage of I can't do it. That's a big deal right there. You're under the bondage of I'm so much less than everybody else. You're under the bondage of that man up there is more spiritual than I am. Aren't you? Now, come on. I see heads nodding. At least you're going to admit it. Praise God. At least you're going to admit it. You've got to know who you are. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Let me stop there. This is not the dynamis power. Okay? This is not the throw lightning bolts power. This is authority. When he says power here, if you go look it up in the Greek, it's a word meaning authority. All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. He's saying that he's got all power in heaven and earth, right? Didn't we just read that you have his spirit within you? Didn't we read that? And if you have his spirit, if you have been filled with the spirit of Christ, if you've been given his spirit, then you have that same authority. We'll let that sink in. If we have his spirit, we have that authority. Now, this is where we're getting. This is where you've got to know who you are. And if you truly are a son of God, then you have the authority given to Jesus Christ when he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. But see, now here's another thing. We love to go to Acts chapter 1. We're Pentecostal. So we love to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and read, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we want to stop right there, don't we? Is that the end of the verse? If you ain't got your Bible open, I guarantee you some of you can't tell me whether that's the end of the verse. That's the only thing you've ever heard. Acts 1 and 8, all power. You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You hear that everywhere you go. But they never finish the verse. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There is purpose to the power. You have the power. It just said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, he's going to give you power. You've already been given Christ's authority. You are sons, adopted sons and daughters of God Almighty. Are you starting to get who you are? Are you starting to understand who you are? And the reason I'm looking out here, I'm not looking at you, Pastor. I'm not looking at you. And you know why I'm not looking at you? Because when you were out here taking dominion, by the way, in case you're wondering why Linda and I didn't come up here, this is not our fight. We fight year round in many places throughout the country. But see, it's your job to take dominion over this area. It's not my job. I'm there with you. I stand with you. I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. But it's not my job. It's your job. You're the ones that God has placed here to take dominion over the powers of darkness in this place. It's up to you to do it. And the reason I'm not looking at the pastor is because most of you were when y'all were up here praying. It's not his job to do it by himself. All the spirituality in this place is not wrapped up in that one man. And don't get me wrong, I love this man and I know that he's a good man of God. But everything is not on him. Okay? You are sons and daughters. You are sons and daughters of God Almighty. You have been given the Spirit of Christ. You have been adopted into the kingdom of God. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You've been given Christ's authority, and you've been given the power of the Holy Ghost, and you have been given a job to do in the end time and to be witnesses for Him in Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're not done yet. We're not even done yet. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. You know, or 17 and 18. You knew I'd get there eventually. Yep. If you've ever seen me anywhere, you know that. Mark chapter 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, I want you to know one thing. I want you to notice this. For those of you who might be a little dyslexic, it doesn't say, and those that believe shall follow these signs. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, which we've talked about that, that's power of attorney. That means you're doing these things as if it was Christ, as if it was Jesus. In my name shall they cast out devils. Let me tell you a little something. I want to back you up, and I even talked to a pastor about this, and he said, wow, you know, I never thought about that. You remember when Jesus came, or the disciples came after he had sent them out two by two. He had sent out the 12, and they came back, and they said, my goodness, this even the devils are subject to us. Well, see, what happened is it wasn't long after that. There was a fellow that brought his son who had a demon. And the apostles, they weren't apostles at the time. They were just disciples. The disciples couldn't cast him out. And they brought him to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, you got to do something. The disciples weren't able to cast this thing out. It throws him in the fire. You never know what it's going to do. So anyway, Jesus said, out. And it came out. They said, why couldn't we do this? He said, because of your unbelief. It's because of your unbelief. Now, it depends on which transcript that you go back to of the ancient texts of the Bible to whether or not it actually says this one comes out only by prayer and fasting. But I will tell you this much, even if it is there, even if he did say it, okay, which he may have, but if he did, I want you to notice something. When the disciples tried to cast that thing out, they hadn't been baptized with the Spirit yet. That didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. But guess who had? Jesus. Jesus did not say, wait, let me go pray and fast, and then I'll cast out the devil. Jesus commanded it to go, and it went. Now, anytime after the day of Pentecost that you saw the apostles, anytime you saw them do anything, whether it was laying hands on people or speaking healing or casting out devils, it just happened. Every time. Why? Because they had that same infilling of the Spirit that Jesus had, just like you do. There was a time when people were trying to sacrifice to Paul and Silas. Or was it Barnabas? It was one of them. But anyway, they were trying to come and bring sacrifices because they had seen them do some miraculous works. And they tore their clothes and they said, no, don't do this. We are men just like you. How many of you would like to do miracles like Paul? Come on now. By a show of hands, let me see how many people. Now, you really would not like to do miracles like Paul. By a show of hands. Hold them up. Hold them up high now. How many of you would like to do miracles like Paul? Well, then go do it. Then go do it. You have been given the power and authority to do it. The only difference between you and Paul is Paul knew what he was capable of. And it's no more than you're capable of. Now, in Luke chapter 9, we're almost done. Beginning in verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach. This is the same thing we just talked about. He sent them to preach the kingdom of the God and heal the sick, and he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. We do that. We've been in places where we've been rejected for the gospel of Christ, for the sake of Christ and the power of Pentecost. We've been rejected, and we shook the dust off our clothes and knocked it off our feet and went on our way. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. You hear that? Now, it says that he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He gave them those two things. Okay? He gave them authority over all devils. And they still couldn't cast that one out because they didn't believe it. They had the power. Listen now. They had the power, but they had to believe it. You hear what I say? You've got the power. You've got the power, but you've got to believe it. You hear me? I'm not talking about them now. I'm talking about you. You have the power, but you have to believe it. This is about the power and authority that you have as a child of God. We have gone too long. Christians, the church has gone too long underestimating its own authority, underestimating its own power. That's why the world has walked all over the church. It's time to fight. See, the disciples had purpose to the anointing. The anointing has a purpose. Now, don't get me wrong. I love, like you said, to bask in the glory of God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But if that's all you have nothing. If that's all you have, you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. What you do for the kingdom of God will show up on the judgment day when he comes to you as a Christian at the white throne judgment and says, look, these are the wonderful things you did for me in my kingdom. Come on in. That's what that's about. Luke chapter 10, also, after these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also and sent them two by two, or two and two, before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. See, that's part of our job. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. I mean, he wasn't pulling any punches. He was pretty much telling you, look, they're going to attack. They're going to come against you. You can't just lay down and die. You've got to keep on going. You've got to keep doing the work of the kingdom. You've got to keep on. And having done all, to stand. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. Now, I'm not telling everybody to just go and give up everything you own and go, you know, around like we do. If God didn't tell you to do that, I'm certainly not going to tell you to do it. But you can be effective where you are. And make sure you trust him for your provision. I don't care how good your job is. It's not the job that's providing for you. It is the Lord. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be unto this house. If we just did that, that would be a start. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn unto you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. It goes on to basically say the same thing about dusting off the clothes. You know, if they don't accept you, to knock the dust off your clothes. But then it comes on down. And verse 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Okay, so basically what he's saying is, look, yes, I gave you this power. Yes, I told you what you needed to do. Yes, you need to be out there doing it. But don't rejoice because you're doing your job. Don't rejoice because you're doing your job and I'm allowing you to be effective at it. Don't rejoice just because I told you you had authority over the devils, and yes, you do. That's not the point. You're doing your job. Rejoice because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For that, rejoice. Okay, because that's what's really going to count in the end. But for right now, you have a job to do, and I expect you to do it. Now, the question was, who do you think you are? We know who Jesus is. We know the Father, the Spirit. We know about the ministries. But who are you in the kingdom of God? See, you have been given all authority and power in heaven and in earth, and you've been given instructions on how to go and use it. If your Christianity is limited to within the walls of this church, then you, I love you, but you're doing the kingdom of God no good whatsoever. It says, go with God and he will go with you, but not just to look after you. I see the sign over the door. Go with God and he will go with you. But he's not just going to look after you. He's going to be there with you, to stand with you, to send the angels with you, to have the power of the Spirit with you. He's going with you so that he can be with you as you fight. It's your job to fight. You have to stand against the kingdom of darkness. Who do you think you are? You are capable of being a Spirit-filled, power-enriched, miracle-working, adopted son or daughter of God Almighty.